Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks are falling in the darkness. And the Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days, they evil. Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been learning about blessings and curses here for the last 2 days. We've been listening to the Bible teacher, Derek Prince, and he's been showing us different ways that we can bring about a curse in our life. If we get into worshiping false gods, idolatry, we can bring a curse, or disobeying our parents, or dishonoring our parents. That can bring a curse. Being unjust to the helpless and the poor, that can bring a curse. Putting our trust in man can bring a curse. We can even bring a curse on our own self, a self-imposed curse. Sometimes, you know, we say things, you hear people say things like, you know, I just wish I was dead. Well, that's a curse. You need to quit saying that. Don't say that, because that's bringing a curse. Because, see, a curse is a harmful wish, that just like a blessing. A blessing is a helpful wish. You are wishing the best for a person when you bless a person. Well, a curse, you are wishing the worst on a person when you are cursing a person. It's a harmful wish. And so you don't want no harmful wishes in your life. So, but get close to your radio and listen as Derek Prince teaches.
That generates a negative power that's released against the people you talk about. I'm not going to go into this in detail, but I could spend an hour on it. Understand? It's very important to know where your problems are coming from. Sometimes they're coming from people quite close to you. There have been men who have been sick for years because their wife had a death wish for them. Understand? There's a lot of things in the human soul that we don't fully understand. It's got a lot of power for good or evil. If it's under the control of the Holy Spirit, it will be for good. But if it's under other forces, it can be just as powerful for evil. And finally, in this section, another source of these problems is what I call unscriptural covenants. In Exodus 23, verse 32, God warned Israel about the nations whose land they were about to enter. They were all wicked, idolatrous nations. And God said to Israel, "You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods." You see, if you make a covenant, which is a very solemn agreement, with evil people, who are under the power of evil forces, you come under the power of those evil forces. Now, there are particularly true of secret societies. In America, for instance, the Ku Klux Klan. And worldwide, the Freemasons. Just have to tell you that that is a sure road to disaster for your descendants. I can't estimate the number of crippled, retarded, unhappy children whose problems go back to a parent in the Freemasons. You can do what you like about it, but I'm telling you the consequences are ordered by God, and you can't change them. You are not free to make a covenant with people on the basis of anything but the covenant that's made in the blood of Jesus. That's a very powerful binding covenant, but evil covenants are also powerful and binding. Now, let's look briefly at the forms that blessings and curses take. If you want to study this in detail, there's one chapter that's devoted solely to it. It's chapter 28 of the book of Deuteronomy. It's got 68 verses. The first 14 verses deal with blessings, and the remaining 54 verses deal with curses. And when you've read that list of curses, I think you should want something else. And the source of both blessings and curses is clearly stated, and I'll read them both. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. What is the basic cause of blessings? It's listening diligently to the voice of God and doing what he says. That's why God blessed Abraham. He said, because you have obeyed my voice. And then it says, all these blessings will come upon you. Really, you don't need to chase the blessings. What you need to do is meet the conditions. God will take care of the blessings. And then, in verse 15 and onwards, we come to the curses. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. What's the cause of the curses? Not listening to the voice of the Lord and not doing what he says. It's very, very simple, basically. Now, if you want to, you can read through that whole list of blessings and curses for yourself. Excuse me. But I will give you my very brief summary. And you check for yourselves. Don't just take it because I say it. Here's my summary of the blessings. Exaltation, being lifted up. Health, reproductiveness, reproducing in every area of your life. Your family, your farm, your animals, everything. Prosperity, victory, and God's favor. I'll read that once more. Exaltation, health, reproductiveness, prosperity, victory, and God's favor. One of the simple statements of blessing is, you'll be above only and not beneath. You'll be the head and not the tail. And I sat down and worked that out once, and I thought, what does it mean to be the head and not the tail? And it's like this, the head makes the decisions, the tail gets dragged around. See? So which end are you, the head or the tail? Are you making the decisions? Are you taking the initiative? Are you determining the way things happen? Or are you at the mercy of circumstances, under financial pressure, health pressure, family pressure, being just dragged around? If you're the tail, it's a curse. If you're the head, it's a blessing. Now let's look at the summary of the curses. And as I said, this is 54 verses, so the summary is brief. First of all, humiliation. Second, failure to reproduce in any area of your life. Barrenness is a curse, without any qualifications. Mental and physical sickness. Family breakdown, divorce, alienation of children, and so on. Poverty, which is a curse, not a blessing. If you think poverty is a blessing, why do you work so hard to get rid of it? And if you think sickness is a blessing, why do you go to the doctor to get rid of it? Why involve that poor doctor in fighting against God and removing the blessing from your life? Defeat, oppression, failure, and God's disfavor. I'll give it to you once more. Humiliation, failure to reproduce, mental and physical sickness, family breakdown, poverty, defeat, oppression, failure, and God's disfavor. Now, I'll give you my own little list, which is just based on personal experience and observation over the years. I made it independently of that chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. It's interesting how close they are. I have seven factors in people's lives, which when I discover, lead me to conclude that they're probably under a curse. Number one, mental and emotional breakdown, and especially emotional breakdown. Now, if it just happens once in one life, there could be other causes. But if it is a thing that recurs frequently in a family, you can be sure that family is under a curse. Number two, repeated or chronic sicknesses, especially without clear medical diagnosis. When you go to the doctor and he says it's one thing, you go back 6 months later, he says it's another, or you have a pain and nobody can find out why you have a pain, but you have a pain. And especially a gang of these things run in families, I would say almost certainly that family is under a curse. Third, repeated miscarriages and related female problems. And Ruth and I have come to the place, if women come for that kind of prayer, which we pray for very frequently, once we hear the diagnosis, we simply treat it as a curse. We don't even do any investigating. And we have seen scores of people dramatically changed. Number four, the breakdown of marriage and family alienation. And let me just say one thing that I can't take time to explain. Witchcraft is homebreaker number one. Wherever that power comes to work in a family, it will ultimately break up the family. Number five, continuing financial insufficiency, especially where the income appears sufficient. You know, there are lots of people who always have enough money, but it's never enough. You know that? You might be one of them. Well, you begin to check. I got a letter from a lady in the United States a couple of years ago. She said, I think my husband's family is under a curse. She'd heard my teaching. So I wrote back and said, tell me why you think your husband's family is under a curse. And this was the answer I got. She said, well, my husband's estate runs into hundreds of millions of dollars, and our annual income is $1 million, and we never have enough money. I said, I'm convinced. That's so characteristic, see. If there's a curse over your life, nothing ever really works. And you can be highly educated and qualified to succeed, but you never quite break through to success. Number six, accident prone. And when I meet that, I really don't look any further. You see, that is a statistically diagnosable condition. If you are accident prone, an insurance company will put up your insurance premiums, see, simply on that basis. And number seven, a history of suicides or unnatural deaths. And I hope I can say this without being offensive, but if you want to look and a very conspicuous family that bears all the marks of a family curse, it's the Kennedy family in America. Now, we come to the punchline, the practical, how to pass from curse to blessing. First of all, you have to understand, full provision has already been made through the death of Jesus on the cross. That's the way that God has made provision for every human need, including this one. If you look in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That, in order that, the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice the exchange. The death of Jesus on the cross, the atonement, was an exchange in which all the evil due to us came upon Christ, that all the good due to him might be made available to us, whatever aspect you look at it. He was wounded that we might be healed. He died that we might have life. He was made sin that we might be made righteousness. He was rejected that we might be accepted. And here, he was made a curse that we might enter into the blessing. That's the basis of God's provision for the problem that I've been speaking about tonight. And you'll notice that in that verse 13, the word curse occurs three times. Christ has redeemed us from the curse, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Brothers and sisters, if a curse is so real that Christ had to be made a curse on the cross for us, then don't entertain the thought that there's no reality in a curse. God wouldn't have made provision at such cost for our deliverance from a curse if there was nothing to be delivered from. You understand? But it took the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ to provide deliverance from the curse. So that's the basis of deliverance. All our deliverance has to be based on faith in what Christ has done for us on the cross. Just as we are made righteous because he was made sinful, so we can receive the blessing because he was made the curse. You see, the law of Moses said in Deuteronomy 21:23, anyone who's hung on a tree becomes a curse. So every Jew who knew the law of Moses, when they saw Jesus hanging on the cross, they knew that he had been made a curse. Thank God the reason why he was made a curse was that we might be delivered from the curse. You see that? Now, you need to bear in mind that after you've been delivered, you still have to go on meeting the conditions, which are what? Listening to God's voice and doing what he says. Very simple. And that's in the New Testament. Jesus said in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So that's the prescription for blessing. But in order to live in blessing, if there's a curse over your life, you must first be redeemed from the curse. You must be delivered. Now, through the death of Jesus, it's already legally ours. You understand? He's already obtained it for us. What we have to do is move from the legal to the experiential. We have to get it working in our lives. Now I want to tell you how to do that, all right? The legal base is already there. God doesn't have to do anything more. We have to appropriate what God has done for us. Very often we need to ascertain the cause or the source of the curse. Not always, but very often. And that's why I spent quite a long while going over the various possibilities, because I was trusting the Holy Spirit to speak to many of you and open your eyes as we prayed at the beginning, that you could see suddenly the reason why you've struggled all your life. You understand? Maybe it'll come by supernatural revelation. Many times it does. Now, I'm not saying you have to know, but in many cases, God wants us to know what we are being delivered from, how it came upon us. If God shows you, then you act on what he shows you. Now, the process of release. The basic pattern is stated in four words which begin with R-E. This just happens to be so. Recognize, repent, renounce, and resist. Recognize your problem and its cause. Repent of anything that ever opened you to it. Renounce the curse and resist every attempt of Satan to keep you under the curse. Okay? Recognize, repent, renounce, resist. Now, more in more detail, specific steps. First of all, establish a clear scriptural basis. I've given you one. Galatians 3:13-14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse, having been made a curse for us. There are other scriptures which I just mentioned. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood. Colossians 1:13-14. God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. 1 John 3:8, a beautiful short scripture, the second half of the verse, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's good news. All right. Now, this is what you need to do. Very simply. Confess your faith in Christ, because he's the high priest of our confession. Commit yourself to obedience, because that's the condition for continuing in blessing. Confess any known sins of yourself or your ancestors, like my aunt was a fortune teller, or my grandmother was in Christian Science, or my father was a Freemason. Many, many different possibilities. And you have to identify yourself with the sin in your family that brought it upon your family. You understand? You confess it on behalf of your family. Forgive all other persons, and maybe the very person that was the cause of the curse. Because if you don't forgive, unforgiveness is a barrier to the answer to your prayer. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anybody. Okay? That leaves out nothing and nobody. Remember, forgiveness is a decision, it's not an emotion. Simply, it's tearing up the IOUs. Number 6, renounce all contact with the occult or with secret societies, and get rid of contact objects. You cannot keep in your house anything that in any way binds you to the occult. Images, charms, Buddhas, Ouija boards, tarot cards, a whole host of things. Moses warned Israel. He said, if you take an accursed thing into your house, you become accursed like the thing. I think of a lady judge in the United States who was miraculously healed when I prayed for her. She'd been in pain for 10 years, night and day, with an intestinal problem. She had adhesions, and her insides had been sewn up with plastic clips. And when God healed her, not merely did he take away the pain and heal the adhesions, but he removed the clips. That's what you'd call a miracle. But the interesting thing is, in a sweepstakes, she earned a free holiday in Mexico. So she and her lady friend went, came back, and the next day they phoned Lydia and me, and they were in desperation. They said, this lady tried to commit suicide. She tried to drown herself in the bath last night. Come over quickly. So Lydia and I went over. They said, we don't know what's happened. Everything was wonderful. I was saved. I was healed. I said, you've been to Mexico? They said, yes. I said, did you bring back any souvenirs? And they thought for a while. They said, yes. I said, was any of them in any way connected with religion? And they said, well, yes, one of them was a portrait of the sun god. And I said, you better get rid of it, and now. And that dear lady judge got up, went down to the basement, and broke it in small pieces in the next 5 minutes. And when she did that, there was no more problem. You see, she had exposed herself by bringing an accursed thing into her home. Ruth and I were in Norway this past summer, and I was invited to talk on spiritual warfare. And how many of you know what the word troll means? Well, it's a Norwegian word. It's the Norwegian word for a witch. And I will tell you, Norway is permeated by trolldom. I mean, they have trolls in every shop window in Oslo. And I had to tell those dear people, if you have a troll in your house, you are asking for trouble. One lady came up to me in tears afterwards. She said, I just want to thank you. After all these years, I understand the problems in my house. She was a well-educated, spiritual woman, but she didn't realize that she had forbidden fruit in her house. And finally, step number 7, release yourself in the name of Jesus, because the Word of God says, whatever we release on earth shall be released in heaven, all right? Whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now I'm going to give you those steps again, and then we're going to do it. Number 1, establish a clear scriptural basis. Number 2, confess your faith in Christ. Let me say, if you've never done this before and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you can get to know Him when you do this. I'll word the prayer in such a way that if you were unsaved when you started to pray, you'll be saved at the end, okay? That's not difficult. It doesn't take God half a second to save somebody. All right, confess your faith in Christ. Number 3, commit yourself to obedience. Number 4, confess any known sins of yourself or your ancestors. Now, when we come to doing that, I'm going to lead you in a general statement, and I'm going to give all of you opportunity quietly to yourself to make the appropriate confession. You don't have to do it out loud, okay? We'll have a pause while you do that. Number 5, forgive any other persons who ever harmed you or wronged you. And again, I'll lead you in the general statement, then I'll give you time to name Uncle Harry, or the pastor of my church, or my school teacher, or my wife, or my husband. All right, it's usually the people closest to us that it's most important to forgive, all right? You don't have much problem with the milkman, but the man who shares your bed, that's your problem. All right. Number 6, renounce all contact with occult objects or secret society. And again, we'll give you a little pause, understand? When you've done all that, you are legally entitled to full release from every curse over you or your family. And when you said the prayer, as the representative of Jesus Christ here tonight, under the authority of the local leadership, for whom I thank God, I will say a simple prayer breaking every curse, okay? I cannot break the curse if you haven't met the conditions. You understand that? So that's up to you. Now, when we say this, and this happens, nothing dramatic may happen. You may not feel any immediate change at all. Or, on the other hand, sometimes the results are quite dramatic. Sometimes people fall down. Sometimes they are released of some evil spirit and a scream or something else comes out of them. Whatever happens, don't focus on the manifestation. Focus on the reality of Christ and your prayer. But if there are manifestations, don't let them upset you. If you're the one with the manifestation, just thank God that you're getting results. And if you're next to somebody, it's her problem or his problem, not yours. Don't get distracted from your problem, okay? Now, I think it would be good if we were to say this prayer together. Now, nobody here has to say this prayer. It's entirely voluntary. But I'm always glad to say it. I've said it dozens of times, and I always like to make absolutely sure that everything is clear in heaven above me. I find it's a real privilege to say the prayer. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask you to stand and I'm going to lead you in this prayer, okay? I suggest that you say it out loud, not very loud, but loud enough to hear yourself so that you know you've said the prayer. And remember, you're not praying to me. You're praying to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. I want you to say these words now. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God and the only way to God. that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I renounce all my sins and I turn to you, Lord Jesus, for mercy and for forgiveness. And I believe you do forgive me. And from now on, I want to live for you. I want to hear your voice and do what you tell me. In order to receive your blessing, Lord, and to be released from any curse over my life, first of all, I confess any known sin committed by me or by any of my ancestors or others related to me. Now just put in anything that you need to confess in that context, just quietly between you and God. Just let the Holy Spirit show you what you need to specify. Okay, we're going on now. Lord, I thank you that I believe you have forgiven everything that I've confessed. And Lord, now I want to say that I also forgive all other persons, whoever harmed me or wronged me. I forgive them all now as I would have God forgive me. In particular, I forgive. And now you name the persons that you need to forgive. To yourself, but be as thorough as you can. Now we're going to continue. Furthermore, Lord, I renounce any contact by myself or any related to me with Satan or with occult power in any form or any kind of secret society. Also, Lord, I commit myself to remove from my house any kind of occult objects that honor Satan and dishonor Jesus Christ. With your help, Lord, I will remove them all. And now, Lord Jesus, I thank you further that on the cross you were made a curse, that I might be redeemed from the curse and might receive the blessing. And because of what you did for me on the cross, I now release myself from every curse and every evil influence and every dark shadow over me or my family. From any source whatever, I release myself now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, Lord, because of your people's prayer tonight, I, as your representative, break every curse that has been over any of these lives or any of these people. I revoke those curses now, and I release them from them in the name of Jesus, the Son of God. In his all-prevailing name, I declare these people released. Hallelujah. Satan, I declare to you that you have no more claims, no more access to their lives, to their families, to their businesses. They have been lifted out of the domain of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We give you the glory. We give you the thanks. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise.
All right. All right. Thank the Lord then. Hopefully you prayed that prayer of release. We thank God for Derek Prince. All right, that was Derek Prince talking to us today about being released from curses into blessing. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here on Ghostbusters.